Good morning. How you guys? Thank you, mother-in-law. Appreciate that. My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach Community Church, and I don't know if you noticed this, but this week they didn't have school on Friday, and they waxed the floors. They look very nice. You may or may not have ever been in a church that's in a school, but this is on a normal day as a cafeteria where food gets thrown and things get spilled, and we're always grateful when the floor is nice and shiny. Don't know why I pointed that out, but I did. There we go. We are in week three of a series that we started called Lead Me to Life, and this series is going to lead us all the way to Easter. And here's the big idea, and give you a little bit from our first 2 weeks. Understand that all of them stand alone. They're all with the purpose that God has desired from the beginning of the world, from the first creation of man, when he pulled dust together and he breathed life into Adam. His intention from the beginning is for us to have life. Always. And we see this throughout the Old Testament as he is communicating and connecting with his people through the end of Malachi, where he puts the promise of John the Baptist, he puts the promise of Jesus, and we see in the beginning of the Gospels that Jesus shows up to literally bring us to the place that we cannot experience God from afar, but we can experience God from up close. And last week we shared the story of Jesus raising the widow's son from death. And the big idea there is literally as we sit there before we encounter Jesus, we are dead. We have nothing to offer Jesus. This young man in a coffin didn't have anything that he could give Jesus on the surface to make it worthwhile for him to bring him to life. But he chose not only for him, because this is part of what we talked about last week, but Jesus always gives us life for us so that it affects and influences other. Because his mom was a widow. Her husband had deceased, and this was her only son. This was her hope, her future, and her joy, and it all left the day he died, and Jesus gave that back to her. And so this week, my title to my sermon is called The Good Shepherd. And it's one thing to understand that, yes, Jesus desires to give us life. It's one thing to acknowledge that he can bring us from death into life. It's another thing that he intends to be with you every step of the way. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, you didn't leave us to guess who you are. You didn't leave us here to guess what you desire from us. Lord, and we are grateful that even before you left, Lord, your words to your disciples, it is to your benefit that I leave so that I could send the Comforter, the Counselor. And Lord, we are just grateful this morning that you desire to interact with us. Lord, that you desire to lead us every day, not just once, every day, to the life that you give. And so, Lord, I just give you the rest of this service, Lord, that you would, Lord, just burn away everything that's me, everything that's not pointing us to you. And we lift these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be in a couple of different places, jumping into Psalms for a little bit, and then we're going to start here. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to hit the ground running in John 10. And it's going to be on the screen if you do not, so just follow along with me. In John 10, starting in verse 7, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," and this is a clarity. See, Jesus was telling that, you know, there is a sheep pen, there is a gate, I am the gate, and before, if they, other people have attempted to go in and take the sheep outside of the gate, which is him, and they're thieves and robbers, and he's bringing clarity what he just said at the beginning of John 10. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And here's kind of our key verse for today. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for a sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And he flees because he is a hired hand who cares nothing for the sheep. Here again, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. If you grew up on a farm, I may really destroy your idea of what a shepherd is, if you know more than me. Most of us, I'm assuming, didn't grow up on a farm. Most of us didn't do any sheep herding. Most of us don't have much of an idea what it means to be a shepherd. And so today I want to kind of dig into what this idea means, because I think if we understand this idea of shepherd, it will build our desire to see where life comes from. And not for the moment of salvation, but life comes from the access that God gives us through His Son every day. So before we get into a shepherd, I have to hit you with one reality. And I may hurt your feelings a little bit, but just let me qualify this. Whenever I say things to the group, I'm always including me in it. Okay? Everybody nod your head like you agree. Okay. So, you know, it may come off a little whatever, but to understand a shepherd, we got to understand what a sheep is. And so to understand a shepherd, we got to understand a sheep. And so in this story, Jesus is the shepherd, and that makes us sheep. Okay, good. We're on the same page. That's all of us. That's not just you guys sitting in chairs. That is me up here with a microphone. And so what's unfortunate about this, and not great news, is that sheep are not, well, they probably are the stupidest animals on the planet. Now, I don't know if you've been to a circus, but I've been to a few, and I've never been to a circus where they had trained sheep. I've been to and have seen a flea circus. They're, you know, and fleas can be trained, not really, but, you know, it's funny. Elephants and other animals, dogs, big cats, they can be trained. There has never been, to my knowledge, please send me the YouTube video if it is, trained sheep, because literally they are dumb animals. Okay, same page. This is all of us. Some of you are hearing, he's calling me dumb. I don't like this guy. Us, okay? I'm not like above the sheep. I am a sheep. Okay. And so here's four things that you need to understand for us to understand the sheep so that we can understand the benefit of having a shepherd. And the first thing is that sheep get lost easily. Now, I don't know about you, but I thank the Lord that He created smartphones. Amen. I mean, I didn't have a GPS before, but when I got a smartphone, like, it's in your phone. Like, literally, I have lived here for 3 years, and I still almost always use my phone to get around, especially if I'm going to an address that I haven't been to very regularly, and I don't really know. I mean, I still sometimes drive around. My wife has an awesome sense of direction. And she lovingly doesn't mock me most of the time when we're driving around, because I use her as my personal GPS at times when I feel like I don't want to turn on my phone in front of her, because it's an area that I should know how to get to. And the reality is that we can get lost. We do. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been lost before, but the reality is we are people that are prone to get lost. We are people that are prone to lose our way, and not just directionally, but in millions of other things. Isaiah says it this way in 53 verse 6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We get lost. Number two is sheep are defenseless. Now, I've seen videos on YouTube of deer, like, beating the snot out of hunters for, you know, whatever reason. I don't know why they put themselves in that position, but, like, deer, which we think are sweet, you know, nice animals. I mean, just beating them down. But I don't think I've ever seen a video of, you know, angry sheep. that are destroying, you know, the shearer. No, I'm not going to take that. And they pull out. They don't have horns. They don't have sharp teeth. They're not overtly large size-wise. And they're not very fast. And so they're just defenseless. And it's good to understand that not only do they get lost, but they are defenseless because this is building our need and desire and what we're going to get in a little bit of understanding of what a shepherd is. And number three is that sheep are very stubborn. I thought about having you guys all do something, like say something to your neighbor, and they would inevitably, there's going to be someone here that just chooses. I really hate that, by the way, when pastors tell you to do something. I have this rebellious side in me that doesn't want to do whatever it is, even if it's good, because I feel like the whole group's doing it, I'm not doing it. We're stubborn. We don't want to do, because I know there's people in here going, oh, yeah, I'm not going to look at my neighbor and say, you're stubborn, because my husband's sitting beside me, and that may start a fight, or my wife. But we are. We're very stubborn people. I don't know about you, but I have spent a lot of time repeating things that I shouldn't have to repeat because I'm stubborn. Like, I won't learn that you should do things a certain way because I feel like today it's going to be different and it's going to work better and things are going to go smoothly, and the reality is it doesn't. The fourth thing is that sheep are filthy. After the morning of setting up, sometimes I do smell, so I apologize. At the end of service, if you ever catch a whiff of me, it's not on purpose. I do have deodorant. I do use it. It just wears out, I guess, before the end of service. See, they don't have the ability to clean themselves, and they won't because they don't care. Sheep, we think, because we see videos of these cute, white, fluffy sheep that are just pristine and like, oh, cute, that we count when they jump in the fence. But in reality is, in the real world, they're not nice, fluffy, white animals. They are grungy, dirty animals because they're animals. They're not thinking like, I just smelled my armpits, and there is a social norm within here of like, hey, you would prefer each other, especially in this tight area, not to smell. Now, the sheep don't get around going, hey, man, you smell. You might want to put a little Axe spray on or something. Here's some shampoo. You might want to try that out. They're not thinking about that. They're just like, hey, I'm good. There's no mirrors. So they're not looking like, man, you're whiter than me. I should do something to make myself more like that. They don't know. See, they just look at the other one going, oh, he looks good. That's great. See, when we all stink, we don't really know that we stink. So the bottom line is sheep need a shepherd. We need a Savior. We need Jesus. And without him, we are vulnerable to the lies of the enemy. So remember earlier when we mentioned in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That didn't end. He is still here trying to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why it's really, really good news when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, so that I would lay down my life for my sheep. So what does a shepherd do? And this is the reality. And I think some of what I'm going to tell you, you will intellectually agree with, but not relationally live in. I think that's the danger with some of the stuff that we hear. We hear it and we go, yes, I agree. But then when we leave here, we don't apply this. We don't live in this reality that if he is the shepherd, then he's going to do certain things. And if you've got your Bibles, we're going to go over into one of probably the most famous Psalms, Psalms 23. And there's four things that I'm going to bring you into that he does as the shepherd. Now, it's our choice because we are sheep and we do like to get lost and we do like to be very stubborn and we just like our own stink at times that we're not willing to allow. But look, this is life. This is what he wants to give us. He never designed us to live alone. When he created Adam and Eve, the perfect was that he would have daily interaction with his kids. And this is what he wants. So the first thing, and this comes out of Psalms 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, the first thing of a shepherd is that he provides. And let me just clarify. This is not a health, wealth, and prosperity church. I have a hard time looking at what the first disciples went through and thinking that saying yes to Jesus equals easy. I think what saying yes to Jesus equals he provides for what you need. Now, in the U.S., need is really the base needs. Want is everything else. He does not promise you a Mercedes, just for the record. You may get one day, but... So he provides. See, sheep will not lay down until they are well fed and feel safe in a quiet place. See, the reality is the sheep will not. When he's talking about, I am the good shepherd, I shall not want, and here in just a second, he helps us lay down in green pastures. The sheep will not lay down until they're full. See, God wants to bring us to the place that not only do we get the promise of life through what he's done for us on the cross, and that gives us entitlement to experience Christ later. He wants to give us Christ now. He wants to give us life now. So he provides. The second one is he guides. Verse 2 in Psalms 23, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, the shepherd knows where the right pastures are. The shepherd knows what is a good path for the sheep to take. And he guides them. Where he says he leads me beside still waters, the other reality is that sheep will not rest around rushing water. They're a scared animal. They won't. If they hear that noise, they will associate that with danger and they won't rest. And Jesus has a plan and a purpose to lead us into these green pastures, into the still waters. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. John 10, verses 3 and 4, which this is before what we read earlier, it says, to him the gatekeeper opens, talking about the shepherd. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. See, sheep follow the shepherd because they are used to the sounds that he makes. One of the most famous shepherds that you've heard of, or most likely heard of, is this guy named David. David was a king in the Old Testament. David, his job was to shepherd the sheep. And one of his skills, he was actually a worshiper. He would go out there by himself and he would sing and worship and play the harp. And the sheep would get used to his sound. They would get used to the noises that he makes, and they would follow what they're used to because they have experienced the shepherd. See, and I think this can be one of the most difficult things because of his voice. And you may say, I have not heard the audible voice of God. And let me bring this to as much as I can in this point. God still speaks. His voice can still be heard today. And there's lots of ways that you can hear his voice. And sometimes it is audible. Let me just tell you, as being a pastor, you may think, I hear the audible voice of God every day. And I would love that. I mean, I would. I would love it if there was a way that I could hear the audible voice of God and not be crazy. I would love that. But the reality is that sometimes God does speak through a voice that you hear within you. But let me just lay out some of these others. And I recommend we do a small group. Actually, one's going on right now called Experiencing God. And the whole purpose of this small group is to begin to hear the voice of God. And how does God speak when you don't hear the audible? This is his primary voice that you can open up and hear every day. The verses that we're reading, they are his voice. They are the reality, the truth of what God is speaking to you. When we're talking about a shepherd, we're not just giving good ideas that, hey, we're going to comfort people and make them feel better. We want the reality that this is what God is speaking to you. God speaks through his circumstances. God speaks through his church. God speaks through people. Now, the key here is that when God speaks, he's always going to speak to what is consistent here. God's not going to tell you something that's contrary to what's in here. And if you're hearing that, and that's why we encourage you, that's why we push and talk about it a lot of this idea of being in the Word of God, because it is the litmus test to every other voice that you're going to hear through, because he's not going to change. He's not going to tell you something that's different than here, but he wants you to hear. The sheep knew his voice because they were around him every day. They heard the sounds that he would make. They knew the songs that he would sing, and they would follow because they had associated his voice to the safe way. And so what God's asking for us as we look at him as the shepherd is that we have to get to know his voice, because if we don't know his voice, because we are sheep, we will be led astray again and again. But if we get to know his voice, we'll always be led in and out of places that benefit us. Here's one that I don't think anybody likes, but still what the shepherd does. The third thing the shepherd does is that he corrects. Job 5, verses 17 and 18, it says, "Behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves. Therefore, despise not discipline of the Almighty, for the wounds, for he wounds, but he binds up. He shatters and he puts his hand to heal." And let me talk about the reality of this. And this is something that I read about a shepherd and a sheep. And because they are prone to get lost, because they are prone to be stubborn, because they are prone to do their own thing when they're young, if they have one that is just, that's what he's going to do. He's going to venture off. He's going to go where he wants. And the shepherd isn't just trying to keep them safe because it's his job. He's trying to keep them safe because outside of his realm of protection, it's dangerous. Outside of his realm of protection, they get eaten. They get destroyed. But inside, they're safe. Because he just said that I am not the shepherd that is going to run off when danger comes. That I am the shepherd that is going to stay and lay down his life for us. So this may sound horrible, but in reality, this is what a shepherd would do. If he had a sheep that would constantly be wandering off, constantly be going to places that he shouldn't, or staying away from the pack, that he would literally take his shepherd rod and he would crack his leg. He would hit him in the leg so hard that the animal could not walk. And it sounds, oh my gosh. Everybody's getting a little afraid that Jesus is going to whack you when you get out of here. That's not what I'm saying, but listen to what he would do. There was purpose to it. It was never just to hit the animal, but he put the animal in a position that he needed the shepherd. Because the sheep could not walk. And so the shepherd would take the little lamb and he would put the little lamb on his shoulder and he would nurse him back. Just like this verse says, he shatters, but his hands heal. He would heal that sheep. And this relationship that was created because of the pain that he inflicted, saved this animal. It brought this animal that he was so connected to the shepherd and so in love with the shepherd because he spent so much time with him. This shepherd took time, nursed him back to health, loved on him. It was his hands that rubbed him. It was his shoulders that carried him. And so when it was time for him to come off the shoulders, when it was time for him to walk, the sheep never went far again because he fell in love with what the shepherd was. Hebrews 12:1, it says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Look, we're not also the church is just going to go, you know, do something dumb, God's going to punish you. See, every bit of God's discipline is not punishment that leads to pain, it is punishment that leads to life. Because there's a lot of dumb things that I've been saved from entering into because of things that have happened. God has protected me from, and His correction is always to lead us to life. It's never, look, we have a God, His primary purpose is not to take, but to give. For God so loved the world that He gave. That is His personality. That is His heart. And He wants to bring correction that's going to move you to life. And the last one is He protects. Even though, and this is, Psalms 23 verse 4 and 5, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." See, there's two things that go on here with the shepherd. The shepherd would literally anoint the heads of the sheep with oil because the oil would keep flies away from the face of the sheep. Because what would happen, and this sounds kind of gross, I apologize, but what would happen is flies would land in the snout of the sheep and they would lay their larvae, which would turn into little nasty things that would bore into the sinus cavity of the sheep and even eat its way into the frontal lobe of the brain. And this would drive the sheep mad. And they would literally at times beat their heads against rocks because of the pain that these little maggots were causing inside of their skull. And so when he's saying, he's not just like, I don't want to just pour, there's purpose in everything. I'm not just pouring oil on you. Sorry, in the South, have a hard time with that word. He's not just pouring the oil on you for no purpose, but the purpose is to protect you. There's another old thing, just to make sure that my cup overflows. There's a tradition in the Old Testament that in the homes when you went to visit, that as long as your cup was full, you were welcome to be there. As long as your cup was full, the party was going, and you were welcome to be in the house. But when the wine stopped flowing and your cup emptied, that was the sign for you that it was time to leave. See, nowadays, it'd be like, oh, my cup's empty. There, see you. But that was the tradition. Is like, literally, as long as the cup was full, you were welcome. And here in the end of verse 5, it says, "My cup overflows." What he's saying here is that as I am here, your welcome will never end. See, that's the protection. I think part of us, we're so convinced that God's primary purpose is to ruin your life or at least make it hard for you instead of the reality that shepherd loves his sheep. Verse 6, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If you've not heard anything out of my mouth, hear this. You will never lead yourself to life. If you could, there would be no purpose to the cross. If you could, there would be no purpose to God saying, "Hey, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live inside of you." There would be only the purpose of you working, striving hard to get the life. When the reality is that Jesus has done everything necessary so you could obtain life. And based on what we read today, He's done everything necessary so you could keep it. See, the problem in the choice that we have is believing that this is the voice of God. Believing that this is the reality, that He is calling Himself the Good Shepherd. He is calling Himself the person that will lay down His life for the sheep, and He literally did. And that's what we're leading up to in this series, that really there is nothing inside the church if there isn't a resurrection. There is nothing for us to offer anyone if there is not a death on the cross, an entrance into the tomb, and then an empty tomb because Jesus raised from the dead. And if He's done that, if this is the truth, then this is who He is. So the question is for you today is, what is He to you? Is He someone that gives good advice? Is He someone that lays out principles that you should live by? Is He the annoying religious figure that someone has always shoved down your throat saying that you need to be saved? Or is He the Good Shepherd? See, this is all He desires. He wants to lead you to places that are not only going to benefit you, but they're going to benefit others. Because when we walk into life and we're living in the place of experiencing life, it is so easy for us to lay down our lives for others. It's so easy for us to give everything that we have to a cause that has a purpose. But when it's just following a rule giver, when it's just following a religious set of principles, there's no life there. But when it's following a man that has set His example before us to lead us to a place of life, and right now, 2,000 years later, it's not just an entryway. Jesus was never just the door, which He is, but He's also the shepherd. So who's leading you? Because if you're leading you, which I've spent lots of time in this area, just throwing that out there, you're going to fall on your face. It doesn't work out. I don't think I've met anybody that in reality is experiencing life outside of, and I'm talking about consistent, not just today, like something worked out yesterday and today is awesome. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that Jesus has done something and that has lasted more. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to invite our worship team back up, and we intentionally put a full song at the end of service because I believe that hopefully I have said something that is stirring in you. And I believe that you know right now, sitting in your seat, whether or not you have allowed Jesus to be your shepherd or He is just a part of your system of life. See, Jesus was never meant to be a part of something. He's meant to lead. You know, when someone's leading, there is just one person. You cannot have two people leading, because if two people are leading, they're going to go in two opposite directions. Instead, Jesus is crying out to us right now in this room, allow me to lead you. And if you're not already, one of the kind of, I would say the backbone of our church is what we call community groups. We are never intended to do this alone. We are never intended to even, hear this and go, oh, I want God to be our shepherd. I think some of the greatest ways that we can allow God to be shepherd is to get around other people that also want to follow the shepherd. Get around other people that will love you enough to speak life into you, will love you enough to say this isn't healthy. Because the reality is, if you want change and you've been leading, the other side of that is allowing Jesus to lead you, allowing God to shepherd you. So what is it? There isn't half in, half out. There is either He is the leader, the shepherd, or He's not. And if He's not, here's the greatest news. The greatest news is that he died on the cross so that he could give you life and shepherd you every day, lead you every day into pastures that are going to lead you to life, that are going to fill you along still waters. He's going to allow you, even in the midst or in the presence of the enemies, that he's going to give you peace. So what I would like to do is I'm going to pray, and the simple part of the gospel is the beginning. It's saying, I am a sheep. I'm dumb. I'm defenseless. I get lost over and over and over again, and I'm filthy. And still you choose to call me. And then understanding, while being a sheep, that God was the good shepherd that did come and live the life that you could not live, to allow himself to go to the cross, die for your sins completely, to give you this thing called justification, to free you from your sin, and then lead you day in and day out to be connected to his Son. So wherever you find yourself at in this next song, the one we end on, is just ask, what is he to you? Answer that question, and depending on what that answer to the question is, respond appropriately. And at the end of our service, we're going to have people up front. If something's going on that has nothing to do with our service, but something's going on and you want somebody to pray with you about something that is going on in your life, this is a safe place. These are great people that love Jesus and love interacting with people. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm grateful that in spite of being a dumb sheep, Lord, you love me. But all of those things you've done for me to lead me to a place of life. And Lord, I just pray that you would allow every person in this room, including me, to be honest with ourselves in identifying what you are to us. And Lord, I pray against the lie of the enemy that whispers into our ear that he's not good, he isn't leading, he won't protect you, he won't provide. And Lord, I pray that you would just open our eyes, that we could see and believe that you are good, that you do want to lead us to a place of refreshing, that you do want to lead us to a place of life. And Lord, if there's someone in this room that has never said yes to you, Lord, I pray that not because of me, not because of pressure, but because of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would just call them to a place of asking for the best gift that they can ever get, which is life from you. And Lord, I just pray that you just breathe into us, Lord, that you call us into places, Lord, that are going to give us life. Lord, I pray that our ears would be able to hear the voice of your Son through the word that you've given us, through our circumstances. Lord, I pray everywhere we walk, we would see you in operating, guiding us. And Lord, we just give you this last few minutes to worship you, to thank you, and to give you our lives. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.